Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Miss something from the Todd Feinberg Show? Don't stress. Listen to the podcast at WTIC.com or on the free Odyssey app.
Listen to this. Why is NPR telling me what to think? In recent years, I've struggled to answer that question. Concerned by the lack of viewpoint diversity, I looked at voter registration for our newsroom. In D.C., I found 87 Democrats working in editorial positions and zero Republicans. None. That is a paragraph from a column written by an NPR guy who's worked there 25 years, complaining why about how the network has changed. It used to be a liberal network with pretty well-represented demographics in terms of party affiliation and such in the listenership. And that's changed dramatically over the past couple of decades. It's interesting. It's a good reflection of not just what you hear in government-subsidized radio, but also what happens in the main media outlets in the country anyway. Or in the state, for that matter. It's a very, very rigged system from a group of people who obviously have contempt for the idea of diversity. I want to talk about that a little bit today, because this is just fundamental to our survival as a country, is that we find a way to get news back. We need news once again. 860-522-9842. Good afternoon to you. It's WTIC. It's Friday. We start off with rants today. We do rants at the beginning of the show instead of the end, because the end of the show is order up. We talk food 5 o'clock on Friday. Listen to this. This is something new. I like how this starts off.
So the trick is to figure out what you love to do and make that your profession. But we're trained to do things we don't like.
How do you react to that? How does that correlate to your experience in life? Have you, first off, done what you loved?
So the trick is to figure out what you love to do and make that your profession.
Is that true, do you think? Is that the trick? Would you recommend, if you had a young person in front of you today and they were curious what the lesson from your life that would serve them best would be, what would you say? And regarding professional pursuits, do you agree with that opening?
So the trick is to figure out what you love to do and make that your profession.
I would recommend that, I think. But that's assuming you don't necessarily care deeply about making a ton of money. I don't think that works for a ton of money. It might work for a ton of money. But if you want to make a ton of money, I'd at least add a second question. And will this make enough money for you, the thing you love, to satisfy your needs.
So the trick is to figure out what you love to do and make that your profession. But we're trained to do things we don't like. It starts with school. You know, you're trained to sit behind a desk for 8 hours a day while the sun is up.
That is torture, is it not? Isn't that a bad start to life? Isn't that a bad idea? Teaching kids to go to school and sit there and listen. Public education. The great con of public education is that we think that's how education should be done. Because we've all been anesthetized. Our brains have been numbed to the joy of learning in favor of the agony of sitting and listening and hearing. How do you do that? It's hard. 860-522-9842. It's hard to sit there and listen. You're a kid packed with energy. I don't know. Maybe it's different for girls. I think girls feel better about school because girls are, I think, biologically better at sitting and listening. Boys need to run. Boys like us, baby, we were born to run. We got to be crazy to, boys should get like 4 hours of phys ed and an hour of academics.
In dim light with walls that look like jail and hospital walls. And you're supposed to get used to that and then pay to do it again when you get out of school to get back in college.
That's great. 860-522-9842. Did you get guided the right way when you were a kid? Did you make good decisions about your professional life or your choices for a direction in life? Is it best for your career to be something you feel passion for? Or is it better maybe to have a career where you make a lot of money and have a carved out chunk of time for doing what you love on the side? 860-522-9842. We'll play Rancid a few minutes, too. Aaron in Goshen. Hi, Aaron.
Hey, Todd. So I will say that's the worst advice you could ever give somebody. Do something you love. Well, what if do something you love and you never work a day in your life? But what if what you love to do doesn't pay you any money? You're going to struggle every single day of your life. I was given that advice when I was in high school. Went to college for fisheries and wildlife. Mm-hmm. And a proud college dropout, and I would not be nearly as successful as I am today if I didn't embark onto a trade and push forward, become an entrepreneur. And now I can do whatever the heck I want because I've worked hard enough to get to a level where I can enjoy fly fishing, being out in the wilderness, hiking, and not have to put in the daily grind that all my other counterparts that went to college have to do to pay back their student loans. I own everything. I own my house. Yeah. I have no payments. I mean, and if I hadn't had figured it out at, you know, the age of 20 and still stuck it out and tried to go to college and tried to make that square peg fit in the round hole, mm-hmm. I don't think that I would be as nearly as successful, happy, or have the life that I currently have. And the one thing I would say, too, is in life, the best advice I can give you is we win and we learn. You never lose. You learn. You make a mistake. You didn't lose. You learn from that mistake. And as long as you're learning, you're always going forward. And stagnation is not going forward. Stagnation is you're going backwards because the competition is coming up behind you. So you always got to be pushing ahead. You always got to be pushing the envelope. Never be complacent, always driving for the next.
And so let me ask a couple of questions here.
Go ahead.
It sounds like your entrepreneurship led you to your riches.
Yes, without a doubt. Well, also my drive did, right? Anybody can go into business, but what are you willing to sacrifice? What are you willing to do in order to be successful? That's what is the key contributing factor to somebody being successful. Anybody can start a business. Not everybody can be successful at a business, right?
It takes discipline. But the point being, you had to discover that about yourself. You found your passion, in other words. And the challenge,
exactly.
So maybe what the real hole in what this guy is saying is that you can't necessarily just dream up your passion sitting in a dark room with your legs crossed. You have to go out and find out what your thing is, right? That's where your experience advice comes in, doesn't it?
It does, but there has to be practicality to it, right? You have to provide a service. You have to provide something that society needs. You can't go out there and be a basket weaver, or you can't sell pies on the side of the road and expect to become a millionaire. You're not going to, because number one, there's not that many people that like pie. And number two, I mean, how many pies can you make in a day?
Oh, I disagree. The lack of pie shops, I don't understand why there aren't more pie shops. I think there's a big opening for an entrepreneur to go into the pie business. No,
well,
seriously.
I mean, maybe there is, but you also have to, here's the thing too, is when you become an entrepreneur and you embark on this journey, you have to be willing to eat crow for a little bit. Like, you're not going to be successful.
Well, that's
right
where
out of the
passion
gate.
Comes in. See, I think what you're saying
exactly.
is not so different from what this guy Dame is saying. Thank you, Aaron, for your feedback. We've got to catch a quick break. Dave, we'll go to you next when we continue on WTIC.
Never miss a moment. Go listen to the Todd Feinberg podcast on the Odyssey app.
WTIC, we started off with a little bit of advice, recorded bit of advice from some guru of producer Roland's. And I wanted your reaction at the beginning of it.
So the trick is to figure out what you love to do and make that your profession. But we're trained to do things we don't like.
How did that work in your life? And what advice would you give? 860-522-9842, Dave in Windsor Locks. Hi.
Hey, how you doing, Todd?
What's up, Dave?
What's going on? This was the selling point to Amway. Remember Amway?
I do remember Amway. That was one of those door-to-door pyramid scheme things, right?
Oh, yeah. And that was their starting point was, would you ever do something would you take your job and do it for free, they would tell you. Of course, everyone says no, right?
No-brainer on that one.
Say, yeah, exactly. And then that's where they get you thinking. But after I realized that was unfeasible, not that I ever went into Amway, but I'm an entrepreneur myself and started my own business, but I always put it to the golf method, and this is what I call it. Most people, not most, but some people, men like to play golf, and I'm a golfer too myself, and imagine you love to play golf, but now it's your job. So you have to wake up and practice and hit 400 balls a day just to keep on your game, and then play under excruciating pressure to maintain what you have for the rest of your life. However, you make great money, but within years you're going to loathe that sport, right?
Mm-hmm.
And your job. People go, how could you complain? You play golf every day. But now it's your job.
Yes, it has a whole different look.
Yes, this is what I tell everybody. So,
a lot of people go, for example, a lot of kids I went to school with, their career goal was to play in the NBA. And a lot of them actually believed they were going to play in the NBA. But, of course, that's not just, as with your example, it's not just a question of will you be able to carve that path for yourself, but are you even good enough? Are you even the right person for that career? But a lot of those people still ended up doing things related. One became a lawyer to an agent, I guess, to athletes, and somebody else worked in a front office. There are careers that you can do that are natural offshoots of the thing you go into, whether it's your passion or not, and whether it's a good career choice for you or not. A lot of people stick in, you know, they want to be on Broadway, but they end up running a Ticketmaster outlet.
You know, you make a good point, and to be honest with you, the guy kind of makes sense. I mean, if you can find making money doing something you absolutely love doing, then that's awesome. But most people I know that love their job, their job is very, very easy, and they get paid a lot of money doing it. Do you understand what I mean?
They love that they're semi-retired but still getting paid like they're working three jobs.
Yeah, and most of them work for the government, to be honest with you. I'm not even kidding.
That's a part of our tragedy in America today. What kind of work do you do, Dave?
I'm in advertising, and I work 12 hours a day. It's mine and my partner's business.
Yeah.
And it's just demanding, which it makes me hate it because I'm there a lot. But I know that's just where I make my money, and I'll retire someday, and sooner than later, and that'll be it. But I worked hard to get where I was at, no doubt.
And so you recommend following your path and feeling the way you feel right now.
Yeah, I even try to tell my kids the same advice, but I don't know what they really, really like. How can you tell when you're 18 what you're going to enjoy doing when you're
40? Well, some people know when they're 4, and some people never find out, and I think we all fall somewhere in between.
No, you're absolutely right. I think the chips lay where they are, and if you can be lucky enough to get – I mean, I guess – If everyone is smart enough to be a lawyer and go to school long enough, as a matter of fact, no, never mind. I was going somewhere.
I'm glad you caught yourself.
Yeah, I did. I was going down the wrong road. But no, you're right, though. Follow your dreams, I guess, and you'll figure it out as you go. Like you said, your friends that
we're going to play in the NBA.
Part of the industry, just not actual product, you know?
Right. Yeah, you can still live in the ambiance of it. Thank you. It's great to hear from you. And I like people who work 12 hours a day because that's always been my approach to work. And I believe that's a personal style thing, too. You know, some people like their work to be all-encompassing and some want it compartmentalized. And that's part of the skill set of being a good entrepreneur is to be able to make all those things work. 860-522-9842.
So the trick is to figure out what you love to do and make that your profession. But we're trained to do things we don't like.
I like that as a little capsule right there. We're trained to do things we don't like. How do you find what you love in life when, that working class hero song John Lennon wrote? I've got to find the lyrics because the way he talks about school, I think is just right. They teach you to be to die inside in school, don't they? To emotionally evaporate. So how do you find the thing you love? Okay, we're going to break for news. We'll talk more coming up. WTIC.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Why wait? Come on. Oh, come on. Why wait? You can rant right now at 860-751-4698 on the Todd Feinberg Show.
Friday. We got rants going in a couple minutes. Just want to explore a little bit more of this little tape thing we've got of Dame. What's his name? Dame Dash. Who was he friendly with, Roland? Jay-Z. He was the owner of Rockefeller? He was the Rockefeller?
So the trick is...
Yeah. The trick is...
So the trick is to figure out what you love to do and make that your profession. But we're trained to do things we don't like. It starts with school. You know, you're trained to sit behind a desk for 8 hours a day while the sun is up in dim light with walls that look like jail and hospital walls.
I always wondered about the color. I mean, it was, you know, half a century ago when I was going to those schools. But the color, where did they get that color? My father always said it was old army paint that they gave to the cities and towns and they used it. I said, all right, that makes sense. It's supposed to be camouflaged. You want to not be noticed because things are so ugly around you.
And you're supposed to get used to that and then pay to do it again when you get out of school to get back in college, then pay it off by sitting behind a desk and doing exactly what they trained you to do.
It is a really dumb way to start life out, isn't it? Maybe it made sense once upon a time, but one of the issues with having a corporatized, institutionalized, single form system of education that is one size fits all, a national model, a state model, and the money and the leverage of that money coming from Washington and from the state control what happens in the cities and towns. So you could say, oh, it's great, we've got an entrepreneurial school system and each town gets to decide how to approach it, but not really. It's all controlled by the elites of that industry and by the politics, which weighs it down and makes it impossible to change things. We should have schools that are filled with variety and vibrance, and we have the opposite.
And no one that's teaching you business is a millionaire. No one that's teaching you about music has a hit record. It doesn't make sense. So I got kids in college that listen, and you know, I say this, my son listens to his professor more than me.
This is where I think he makes his first mistake. I forget if this is the second one, but this is, he's got this totally wrong. You don't tell your kid they should be listening to you. Your kid will figure that out on their own schedule if you're lucky.
My son listens to his professor more than me about business. He goes to school for business. I'm like, your professor ever made $1 million? Who pays your professor?
Well, wait a sec. Who's paying the bill for his college? Come on, man.
So why are you listening to him before me? You know what I mean? Why are you in their school and not mine? I never saw school on any hieroglyphic. Have you?
Absolutely. Oh,
I never saw school in any pyramid or any of that. I think parents are supposed to teach their kids. But you're trained to give your child away to an adult you don't know, to teach your kid how to survive in life.
Does that make sense to you to give your kid away to somebody you don't know, to a stranger, to a system which you respect in your naivete? Because, I mean, let's be serious. It's naive to think that sending your kid off to school is automatically a good thing if you haven't gone to inspect. Imagine if somebody pitched that to you cold. I've got a building filled with professional union workers who are the best people available to raise your kid. All they want him for is 35 hours a week. Hand him over. Would anyone buy into that system? Take it right off the... And wait a sec. I haven't played any of this. This woman, Abigail Schreier, has a book out on... she's got one on therapy, how it messes up kids. I'm paraphrasing. I forget the exact title. She's really smart. Listen to her.
And with children, it's called demoralization. That's one of the iatrogenic effects of therapy. So I talk about in the book iatrogenesis, which is when a healer introduces harm to the patient.
You don't just trust your kids over to authorities and smart people because they went to college. They can be dangerous, even professional people.
Patient. And harm can come in any number of ways. You know, you go in for a surgery and you pick up a MRSA infection, or you go in for an X-ray and you're exposed to, radiation. So even helpful interventions carry risk, right? Well, with psychotherapy, of course, it can be helpful, but it also carries risks. A lot of people don't realize that. And what you just said, your therapist casually diagnosing you with PTSD, which is, by the way, on its face, absurd.
Yeah.
Because PTSD is a severe condition. People have these absolutely serious,
So anyway, you can't just, I think we've made huge mistakes over the last couple hundred years in this country, and school is perhaps the biggest one. Tim in Hamden. Hi, Tim.
Why, good afternoon. A couple of things. First off, you're not daring to say that private schools are that much better as far as keeping people in the little locked thing, having them sit at a desk.
I think what we've learned about all things is that if people have choices and are allowed to sort out what's best or worst by making choices, that's how you get a great system in response. Well, that's how you get good results.
I've certainly been in those classrooms, and they certainly do the exact same thing. And they all even look alike. They all dress alike. Whereas I've actually taught in an art school where there is music and creativity and bright colors everywhere, and the students thrive like crazy. And that was a public school. Mm-hmm. So it all depends a lot.
Well, I'm not saying it's impossible out of the thousands of public schools that mm-hmm. we pay for around the country that there aren't a few good ones. The point is, people should be going to a marketplace where if their kid belongs in a vibrant, wonderful art school, maybe there'd be a few to choose from.
Yeah, but unfortunately, we say this is the one or two that's going to do this, and this school over here might
Well, that's all I'm saying is we shouldn't have a one-size-fits-all system where a few boring people who have degrees sit and decide for everybody else what's going to happen.
Well, that's true, but, you're preaching to the choir. Just make sure that no one on talk radio hears about it, because they'll scream, just teach reading, writing, and arithmetic, that's all. We don't need anybody teaching.
Tim, you love to argue the argument that's not being had at the time. I don't know why you always defer to a different argument. But the argument is, okay, we agree. You could have started your call off that way. We agree. School is a problem when it's run by one government. And that's what we have, one government running schools. That's what we have. Tom's in Bristol next. Hi, Tom.
Hi, Todd. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, that was a good answer to that, man, that I thought. So but what I wanted to do was to talk up the rally tomorrow at the state capitol.
What is the rally tomorrow at the state capitol?
It's Hands Off Our Kids, Family Institute of Connecticut, Moms for Liberty, and a couple other groups are protesting that the SJ4 resolution to amend the Connecticut state constitution, where they're going to do you know about that?
I'm not sure yet. Keep going.
Okay. So they're pushing to make an amendment in the constitution that will give a civil right for minors to transition their sex.
Oh, yes.
Without parental knowledge or consent, and will allow boys into girls' sports and locker rooms, and will allow the right to abortion right up to birth. And so it's going to be, if it gets through the legislature, it's a difficult process to get through. They have to get 3/4 in this legislature. But if they get a majority, it goes on to the next legislature, newly elected one, and they can get it through with a majority there. So they're bent on it.
And but give us the encapsulation of what this thing is that they're bent on.
To amend the Connecticut Constitution, put an amendment in there that gives a civil right to minors to gender transition without parental consent or knowledge.
Yeah, that sounds like a great thing that we need to have on the ballot as quickly as possible, because You know, Democrats get away with harboring these kinds of ridiculous and destructive ideas and having it see the light of day. The excuse for people, even Democrats who are who find this stuff embarrassing and appalling, will say, oh, it's just a few people on the fringe. It's not what Democrats really believe.
Right. And what the thing is, it's gonna be a wolf in sheep's clothing, because what they'll be selling is that, you know, we want to enshrine in the Constitution the right to abortion. And then the rest of it will be hidden and people will go to the ballot. Well, you know.
Yeah, well, that's why God gave us TV advertising.
Right, right. So, yeah. But, I mean, this is such an insidious injection into the Constitution. We have a tradition in Connecticut. You know, we're called the Constitution State. And it's a marvelous and glorious tradition that we have. From it's 388 years old, the first constitution in human history. You know, brand new ideas came through our founding father Thomas Hooker to, you know, that you know, the power belongs to the people by God's own allowance. He preached this sermon, and these men, and just the when Hartford, Weathersfield, and Windsor were just in their infancy, they got together and they put this together. First time in human history, these ideas. This was before Locke, before Montesquieu.
You're going way off here. There's a very simple thing in here that there's something simple in here that you're opposed. I need to hear what it is.
Yeah. So anyway, it's injecting into this this glorious tradition we have in Connecticut of a free state and a free constitution. A poison that's undermining the foundation of the whole state, you know, and it's horrible, you know. So it really is a spiritual crisis in Connecticut. It really is.
And the spiritual crisis is?
Is that, you know, that people have given up their moral conscience and their moral ability and their God-given endowment of common sense of what's right and wrong. You know, that we used to be a nation, a state that had a Judeo-Christian
and that's been replaced with what?
With a secular humanist idea, with moral relativity.
I don't think that's what's... I appreciate you're saying that, and I appreciate you bringing our attention to this, and I'm going to hold you right there, but I don't think that's what's going on. What's going on is people become stupid about politics because they're so wrapped up in rooting for their team that people who have the obvious ability to discern how ridiculous it is to empower children and their professional partners to make them succumb to an idea that is transient and not founded in anything meaningful, that they should go have surgery or other chemical changes to their bodies to change their gender when they're too young for us to allow them to decide to have an aspirin at school. It's just ridiculous. And liberals know that this is corrupt and dangerous and stupid too, but they're so caught up in this political binary of them good, you know, their people are good. Their politics are good. Their politicians are good. Their corrupt institutions are good. Their unions are good. All that takes precedence over the other side because the other side is evil. And so everyone shuts their brains off. 860-522-9842. Thank you, Tom, for the call. We'll continue coming up on WTIC.
Never miss a moment. Go listen to the Todd Feinberg podcast on the Odyssey app.
Okay, I'm sorry. So we never got the promo on the air for when the event is against this SJ4 constitutional amendment. So if somebody could call back and just tell Roland the details on the protest, I want to be able to publicize that for you. Keep your hands off our kids. Is that the organization? Hands off our kids and others. I forget who else. 860-522-9842. George in St. Louis. Hi, George.
Hi, Todd. You know, Zuckerberg left school, started his own business. you know, Edison was self-taught. So was Lincoln. He was self-taught. Somehow they found these skills outside of a formal education. They found.
Sure, but it's easier if you're a driven, obsessed genius, in the case of Zuckerberg. Or guys from other times what you needed to get from a book, like becoming a lawyer, you know, that's a fairly confined bit of study compared to all the stuff people need to know about today.
But Gates left school and he started a billion-dollar
business.
Yes,
the exceptions do not make the rule. I'm not here advocating for education. I'm here advocating for great education that would excite people and make people eager to get there every day, instead of having it be boring and tedious and stuck in decades past in terms of content.
But you see, that's part of the game, the way they sought their own information and ended up being having a successful business and you know, really fulfilling a lot of the needs of the public, but they didn't need that.
Why are you still talking about this? We know some people drop out of school and do well, but what I'm talking about is school.
And the point I'm making is it's not school that makes the person successful. And you'll find
but
that
first,
in a lot of cases.
Because Mark Zuckerberg is a billionaire isn't proof of your case.
No, but even the graduating students aren't necessarily successful.
Well, a lot of them are. Millions of them are. And yeah, the question is, can we have a system that is better? And how do we make it better? And could we have a system that is worse? I don't know if there's a way to make a system worse than the one we've come up with for education. Turn it over to unions. Make no public policy if it's not approved or driven by the unions. Who would do that to children? That's the most corrupt, criminal thing you could imagine doing, turning kids over to a union-controlled organization because it helps politicians win elections. Who is crazy enough to recommend something so depraved? And that's what we do in our world. No wonder kids don't go to school in large numbers, don't graduate in large numbers, do drugs and spend the day on their phone in large numbers, instead of being excited by the vibrant thrill of learning. All right, we're going to get the rants going after we get ourselves a news update. We're starting off with traffic first. BPS Lawyers Traffic Center. We get to hear the voice of Mark Christopher after a long layoff yesterday without hearing a word from him.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.